My name is Aretha Goodman. I live in San Cristobal, New Mexico. And on December 20th of this past year, my two dogs got trapped. And in trying to release them, I myself got caught in a trap. So I guess my testimony is a bit unique because this doesn't happen often. One of my dogs, I got out. The trap closed on my fingers. I tried unsuccessfully to open it, pulling it, prying it open with sticks, which broke. My fingers were being crushed. It was extremely painful. And at a certain moment, I just thought, wow, this is amazing. I'm trapped. I'm caught. I'm stuck here. And I was about, at that point, I was about a half mile from my home. These traps were set just outside the village of San Cristobal. And it was far enough off the road so that I couldn't, and it was a very infrequently used road, so I couldn't really yell for help. Luckily, I saw that the trap was tied around a tree. So I was able to untie it, run down to the village, get a neighbor to help me get my fingers off. All the way down there, I was looking at this thing on my hand, and at a certain point, I did see that there were levers, but they were useless because you need to use both levers, and one of my hands was unusable at that point. So I did get released. I noticed my other dog wasn't with me. I got in my car and drove up to that place again, and sure enough, she was also caught. And her leg was in a trap. She had jumped over a tree that was kind of down, and so her rear leg was hanging up in the air with the trap dangling off it, and so I couldn't step on those levers since it wasn't on the ground, so I had to dig it out. Now, this trap was staked in the ground. And that's an important point because
It is important, and you have 30 more seconds.
Okay, sorry. I'll just cut this short and just say that I wrote to Game and Fish, not only telling them about my opposition to trapping in general, but also detailing ways in which they could make traps safer for humans if they decided to keep them. And so all of these things I said, put instructions, tie them around trees. Okay, I'm out of time. So
you can finish your thought.
My thought is that for the safety of humans and animals, these traps are all over our public lands. They should be banned. But my deeper thought is that what kind of world do we want to create? What kind of world are we creating with profit is the bottom line? And can we create a world in which one of the primary values is beauty, well-being, safety, and just contentment for all living creatures? Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Aretha. Bud Berkman.
Hi. I apologize for having my back to everybody. We've heard tonight on a lot of brutality and cruelty, so I'm not going to really go there. Those are all valid reasons to ban trapping on our public lands, but I'm going to present something a little different. For people who think that we want to protect animals at the expense of humans or the expense of quote-unquote livelihoods of humans, I have a rebuttal. And that is, I feel that we want to protect the bobcats, the bears, the wolves, and the hawks, not only for their sake, but for our own sake, because we recognize that wildlife enriches us, human beings. Protecting wildlife enriches us aesthetically and recreationally, culturally and spiritually. Human beings have other appetites besides money. When we destroy nature and wildlife, we diminish ourselves. We impoverish our lives. We want to protect these animals because we believe that they have more value alive than dead. More value living on our public lands than wrapped around somebody's neck. Because I believe my life will be richer and my community will be richer if we live in a world where there are wolves and owls, coyotes, bears, and hawks. Thank you.
Thank you. And I would say that if any of the panel members want to ask a question, just please speak up. Okay. Natalie Givings.
Could everybody, when you go up to the microphones, please state your name so we can hear it and the camera can catch it?
I think I have not read this correctly. Natalie Owings.
She's coming.
Okay. Thank you.
Correcting me.
I happen to know.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's been suggested also that I give a couple of names in advance. So next in line are going to be Dan Lorimer, Maggie Craw, Gloria Romero, Cindy Roper. Natalie.
I'm Natalie Owings, and I'm the director of the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary. And thank you, all you members of the panel, for being here tonight, listening to all of us. And I'm here to represent some of the dogs that we have rescued from being victims of the Lake Hole trap. All three of the dogs that I have here tonight have been found in traps. Two were found in the Valencia County area and one in Clovis, in the Clovis area. We brought these dogs by people who care, and it's our job to take them to the veterinarians and to have them rehabilitated, which of course we do. And this is extremely expensive. This is Ivan right here. Ivan is right now only 9 months old. He was a puppy when he was found in a trap. And it took, his leg was in so many pieces by the time we got a hold of him that it took two vets 3 hours to take his leg off. And he suffered tremendously, we know that. Now, Honey, this is Honey, the white one, and she was removed from a trap, which she was sort of dragging around, and taken to a veterinarian, and she was in full lactation. In other words, this dog had puppies. And all she was doing was going out looking for food. And she got into a trap. And that was the end of her puppies, of course, because we didn't know where they were. The other little dog, Fawn, Fawn likes to be comfortable. And she knows Mary Catherine Ray. So Fawn was taken out of a trap in the Clovis area, and I saw her leg before it was amputated by one of the veterinarians in Santa Fe, and Fawn's leg was in ribbons as she had tried to remove herself from the trap. So I know that these are three examples that we have, and we've had others, actually, that have been adopted by very good people. And we continue to do this. We rescue, I've been rescuing in New Mexico for 30 years. And it's always the victims of the Lake Hole traps that seem extremely sad to me because this is so preventable. We also do humane education at the sanctuary. And I have a Lake Hole trap, which I actually had to go buy. But at least I have one. Because now when we do humane education at the sanctuary with groups of children of many different ages, even up to college level, we can show them the Lake Hole trap and show them how very barbaric and cruel this is. And all of them are totally aghast. They can't believe it. Children cannot believe that this is actually being done to their little furry animals in the wild. I know of a couple in, they used to live at El Dorado, which is outside of Santa Fe.
30 seconds.
And I have to stop. Okay.
Well, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. And so this couple found their dog in a lake hole trap, and they left New Mexico for good. That was all they could take. That was it. So I really hope that you will help us get rid of this barbaric device. We have no business calling ourselves civilized here if we continue with this trap. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Dan Lorimer.
Thanks very much for being here this evening. Thanks also to all of you. My name is Dan Lorimer. I'm the conservation coordinator for the Rio Grande chapter of the Sierra Club. And so I want to thank Mary Catherine Ray, also our wildlife chair. This is an important and exciting campaign. I think New Mexico will end up a much better place to live. The Rio Grande chapter represents roughly 8,000 outdoors people who use these public lands on a very regular basis. It occurs to me, especially after hearing the doctor's presentation, that in these tough economic times, it would be very, very interesting to know the answer to this question. Are the trappers who are selling these pelts claiming this income in any way? Is the state being paid any sales taxes, gross receipts taxes? I think this information could be very handy because of my strong suspicion is that the state spends money to support trapping. Thanks.
Thank you. Maggie Craw.
I'm Maggie Craw from Peña Blanca, and first of all, I'd like to thank the panel for their time and the organizers of this forum for pulling it together. Last December, I was walking with my dog Lulu on the Dome Road in the Santa Fe National Forest. That's a place where prior to the Lost Conscious Fire, we frequently walked alone. I was lucky on this particular day and that a friend and her dog were with us. I was lucky because as we were walking along, we suddenly heard this absolutely unrecognizable scream that stopped us in our tracks. I had no idea what kind of animal it was. We stopped to discuss that for a minute, in fact, what kind of an animal makes this noise and basically which direction we should run. And about that time, I realized that Lulu wasn't by my side. Also about that time, the screaming or the animal noises escalated to the point where it sounded to me like multiple animals. So it occurred to me that most likely Lulu was engaged with a pack of coyotes or a mountain lion or something, some other wild animal. Although our impulses were to run away from the noise, we had no choice, of course, but to run toward the noise. We got there, and my dog was on the ground with one of her legs and a steel jaw trap. She was struggling like I've never seen an animal struggle. There was incredible tension on the trap. Our first job we had before we could even attempt to release the trap was to push this dog closer to the tree to which the trap was chained. We took both of us to push her close to the tree. My friend laid on top of her to hold her still while I released the trap. Lulu got up, and we realized that we were covered in blood. Our hands and our clothing were covered in blood. Our initial assumption was that Lulu was bleeding. I checked her out. She wasn't bleeding. Then it was then that we realized that the trap had been baited with a large chunk of fresh meat, which is illegal. The trap was illegal in three ways. It wasn't identified, it was baited with fresh meat, and it was less than the required distance from the road. Lulu was lucky. All she suffered was mild lameness for a couple of days. I'm still haunted by her screams, I have to say. It was a cruel experience for both of us, one I would not wish on any animal, wild or domestic, or on any pet owner.
30 seconds.
Pardon me?
30 seconds. Duh.
I just want to say that I no longer walk on public lands alone, and even when I walk there with friends, I don't have the comfort level that I once had. So thanks for everybody's time, and please do what you can.
Thank you. Gloria Romero.
Good evening, panel.
Good evening, audience.
What I have to say will be very short. Gandhi reminded us that a reflection on society is how they treat their animals. Let us keep that thought in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Cindy Roper.
Hello. Please forgive me for reading this, but I want to make sure I make all of my points.
And I know that I'm continuing to introduce people, but why don't you go ahead and state your name? I should have asked Ms. Romero to do that as well. But
my name is Cindy Roper, and I'm from Cerritos, New Mexico. I also consider myself a citizen activist, and I'm beholden to no group that's represented here. Since May, I've been talking to people about trapping and collecting willing signatures at various venues in my county. Yes, a few of those venues have been friendly, and a few have not. What I'm here to say is that hands down, across the board, citizens are horrified, dismayed, and disgusted that we allow trapping to continue in New Mexico. These sheets, let me fan them for you, are signatures that I've collected. They represent 380 signatures of people I've personally spoken to. They hold the signatures of these 380 people that I've spoken to personally who are demanding an end to trapping on our public lands. As a matter of fact, I've had on numerous occasions my clipboard ripped from my hands in somebody's frenzy to sign the petition. I like it when that happens. All 380 people whose signatures I hold see no gray in this issue. They all see it as very black and white. The trappers will tell you that their traps are humane. How on earth can trapping be construed as humane when the animals are found trapped alive, then crushed or bludgeoned to death, after which their pelts are stripped from their carcasses? The trappers will tell you that the antis, me, are a bunch of urbanites that just don't get their rural lifestyle. I'm here to tell you that's false also. I might not live in the Gila, but I do live where I'm surrounded by hundreds of acres of unoccupied land where I coexist with coyotes, bobcats, and occasionally bear and cougar. Many of the citizens that have signed these petitions live in the same places. They're not all urbanites. The trappers will tell you that trapping is a valuable wildlife management tool. How on earth can the current regulations be construed as management when there are no bag limits? Even for bobcat, the trappers get to report after the fact how many single species they've decimated over the last couple of months. Please explain what wildlife biologist might consider that management.
30 seconds.
The trappers will tell you that it's their God-given right to trap. And with that, I would disagree. And so would the majority of the citizens of the state of New Mexico. If the trappers have a God-given right to trap, what about my God-given right to enjoy the state's wildlife alive and thriving? We live in a democratic society, and the majority on this issue demands that we end trapping now. Thank you.
This hearing was called and put together by four separate organizations: the Sierra Club, Animal Protection New Mexico, Born Free USA, and Wild Earth Guardians. And we've had representatives from all of those organizations speak to the issue. The reason was because after gathering more than 12,000 comments on a proposed rule change or on the rules that the Department of Game and Fish has in place concerning trapping, none of the public comments were taken into account in what was finally done. So this panel is here to listen to testimony on this issue of trapping and come up with some recommendations and a report and perhaps propose some legislative action in this area. We are trying to listen and not make any foregone conclusions, but that's what this is.